Well, maybe Olaf wasn't on the last call either, Christina. Maybe if you wouldn't mind just sharing
just
with Christian and who's new, and then with Olaf where we are, the sort of the thought that U-Haul, and I think it would help Tim too, because Tim, you weren't on the last call either.
Right. Well, I think most, if not everyone, has probably seen the New Star funnel request by now. And the proposal that we had talked about, and let me just pull up, it's in 9 different iterations of email. But the proposal, hello? Is that Alan or Mike? Okay. I think the proposal really came down to this, that notwithstanding kind of the personal disagreement that some of us may have as to whether or not the AGP should be retained, that we recognize that it's a practical matter, there were some other uses of it such that it would pose some implementation difficulties and obviously some policy recommendation difficulties in terms of getting something through if we decided to go that route. So in short, what we were tinkering with was language that would basically restrict use of the AGP to a defined number of deletes per month. And that defined delete number would be either, and this is where we got kind of tricky on language, that the defined number of deletes would be 5% of the monthly average of new net registrations over the previous 6 calendar months. Registrars accredited for less than 6 months would be allowed 1,000 free deletes within AGP per month until the 7 months, when then that 5% of monthly average of new net registrations formula should apply, and that that's not even the correct version. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can find the other version. But that was really where we had started with in terms of just kind of philosophically and trying to come up with the right words and the right numbers and the right parameters and the right exceptions. Let's see if I can find. I think the most recent one was that the defined number of deletes per month per registrar, and then the delete number should be defined as the greater of 50 or 5% of the monthly average of new net registrations. And then, again, kind of carrying on with the original language, that a registrar accredited in a TLD for less than 6 months should be allowed 1,000 free deletes within AGP per month until the 7 months of a TLD accreditation or added registrations. Deletes in excess of the lesser of the greater of 50 or 5% shall constitute speculation in domain names and be deemed beyond the scope of the AGP. And again, that's really where we were just really trying to get it down to language that was precise and language in terms of numbers that we thought is something that the registrars could live with. And obviously, since none of us are registrars, we were kind of speculating. So I think, personally, Tim, I think it would be helpful. I realize you've just heard this, but I'm wondering what your reaction to it is.
It sort of sounds a lot like what ultimately Jeff just posted.
Right, exactly. And the idea was that, as you know, since we were involved in that group, we knew that that was coming eventually, but we didn't know when. We also knew that it wasn't all of the current players, and that in order to avoid having to do something on kind of a piecemeal basis going forward as new GTLDs are introduced, that the most efficient way to do that would be to go straight to kind of redefining AGP in such a way so as to restrict its applicability.
Right.
Where was that posted, just to clarify that question?
Which posted what?
What Tim was just saying about, is it the same as what someone posted?
New Star put in yesterday.
Oh, the New Star.
Yes.
Right,
yeah,
the New Star.
Yeah.
I saw that. Okay, I just wasn't sure what he was referring to, and I did see that, so thanks.
So
the only comment I would have, Christine, just offhand, I mean, personally, you know, I think it's great. I would much rather see a consistent policy than have each registry define something, because we're going to end up with, you know, dozens of different implementations over time, and
mm-hmm.
and then that's going to be difficult to manage for registrars. So the only comment I have right now, though, would be that if the 5%, if might reconsider it to the 10%, if that's what Jeff and Affilius is going to offer, there might be, or going to propose, there might be some reason why they feel that that percentage is a better threshold based on their experience, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they have the 50 minimum, too, actually.
Right.
Otherwise.
Yeah, and if I'm remembering correctly, when we had talked, I guess the last time we really all talked as a group was in September, you know, there was some suggestion about 5%, and I know that they had a reason for not wanting to pursue 5%, but I can't for the life of me remember what it is. But kind of drilling down to the specifics of it, you know, obviously one thing that we have to do is figure out what the number is going to be and what the percentage is going to be. The next thing is whether doing it tied to new net registrations is something that's going to be acceptable. You know, just kind of parsing it out, I mean, there's a lot of different areas where I would hate to see it get sidetracked.
Can I ask, I was a little bit confused by the language that you used. Would this act as a cap on the total number, a maximum number of free deletions, or would this mean that if a registrar exceeded that amount, that it would gain the benefit of the AGP for none of its deletions?
Kind of both, in the sense that it's really intended to restrict what the AGP is intended to even apply to, in the sense of once you go above and beyond that, the AGP doesn't even apply to those deletions.
But does it retroactively no longer apply to the deletions that were not above and beyond that, or does it only apply to any deletions that might exceed that cap?
I'm sorry, say that again.
So I'm trying to think of a better way to phrase this. So if a registrar exceeds the limit, does it still gain the benefit of the free deletions for the amount that was the limit?
Yes.
So, okay.
Yeah. So everybody's going to get kind of that baseline, whatever the percentage is and whatever the number is. And then it's above and beyond that that the AGP doesn't apply.
And, Christina, this is all of just a clarifying question. Then you intend that this would be for each registrar across all GTLDs?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And I just got an email from Mike. He didn't have the meeting on the calendar, but is dialing in now, so he should be on in a minute.
Great.
Okay, so, Christina, just on all this question, because I guess I wasn't quite taking it that way, but just want to make sure. So it would be 10% of new registrations, but the you're not taking it per TLD. It's all TLDs combined.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. Then maybe I misunderstood Olaf's question. The idea was that it would apply to all accredited registrars, but that the cap, I think, as a practical matter, would only be able to apply within each TLD, because I don't see, from an accounting way, how you could have it apply kind of cumulatively without running into all kinds of, you know, trade secret and antitrust issues and all those other things that we don't want to start stirring up.
Yeah, because if the idea is that the that after that threshold, then the regular registration fee would stick and not just the ICANN fee.
Correct.
Then it'd have to be that way, because otherwise it'd be an accounting nightmare for
exactly.
ICANN.
Exactly, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, got it.
And also call for quite some new statistics of not really yet defined nature.
Right, right. Well, you know, and frankly, I presume that there's kind of underlying policy and securities reporting requirements behind why the registry reports are frozen for 3 months, and requiring the registries to kind of communicate what that data was on an ongoing basis would really defeat the purpose of doing that.
Hey, everybody. It's Rodenbaugh. Sorry I'm so late.
Hey, Mike, I'm sorry. I just wanted to clarify whether you got the whether you're on the list, because I actually noticed something from Glenn that looked like maybe you weren't. So I just wanted to make sure
I
know
don't
that you.
Think, no, I'm not. I don't think. I thought I was, but I didn't get.
Yeah, I thought you were too, and I just sent her a note to follow up just to make sure in the future. But I apologize for that at our end.
Anyway, I'm sorry too. It's
it's good to have you here.
I would like to know what's going on. I'm getting on a plane tomorrow to head over to Delhi. So,
I was just running through kind of the gist of the proposal that you and Alan and I had been talking about. Although, as I understood it, we hadn't completely nailed it down. And Tim had pointed out that in light of the New Star request, that we may want to adjust our numbers accordingly.
Okay. Sure. I mean, I liked Newstar's request a lot. I imagine you did too, right?
Yes. You could say that there's like a big happy face in trademark land.
Smiley.
Well, that sounds like a silly probably.
If only we're verifying making the request.
Yeah, exactly. Then I would be doing cartwheels down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Great.
And I guess if we do that, though, Tim, or in Mike, and everyone else, but just because, Tim, you raised the 10% threshold, and Mike, you were the one who had come up with a rolling six-month basis. If we do that, do we still need the rolling six-month basis, which I think, frankly, is going to make this harder to implement than it might otherwise
be? I'm comfortable going with the way Jeff put it out in his note.
How do you do it for new companies, then, for new entrants?
50 max.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Mike. I think if we go into the month, by the month would be probably easier for everybody to track and figure.
Right. Can you, you know, the one thing that Newstar has that we don't currently have is kind of an escape valve in the event of an exceptional circumstance. And I'm just wondering what everybody's thoughts are as to whether or not having one would be fatal. And if the conclusion is yes, how do we come up with one that isn't so discretionary that it, you know, the exception swallows the rule?
I mean, the registries didn't, at least Affilius and Newstar didn't seem to think it was going to be necessary.
Well, they included that exception,
mm-hmm.
Extraordinary exception, whatever they called it, with a few conditions around it. You know, it can't occur repeatedly. It's completely at Newstar's discretion. But yeah, taking that and putting it into policy. A little different. I mean, it could certainly, you know, allow registries to have an exception, but then I would imagine you'll be concerned about how that's dealt with and enforced. You know, from ICANN's perspective.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't, my preference is to leave it out, and if it becomes an issue, then we talk about it.
Yeah. I just don't want to, personally, I don't want to throw language out there and see what people say. I would rather just wait for somebody to raise it and come up with a workable exception, because I just don't see how you could do it as a practical matter. I really don't. What do our new folks think?
And then I tend to agree. I think that let it get raised, and then, you know, it might not be something that we could resolve within the PDP timeline, but might be an issue for the implementation period or team or whoever deals with that.
I have to wonder if there's really that much danger that the exception would swallow the rule. I mean, the implementation would obviously be an issue in the drafting, but at the same time, I kind of doubt that the sort of practices that we're really worried about now would be allowed under some sort of escape valve clause.
I would think, let me see if I can find Jeff's thing.
I'm sorry, who was that speaking? Just so I know.
This is Christian.
Oh, hi, Christian.
It would be interesting to hear what the registries might say about that, because, I mean, I know in the past, GoDaddy's been there, and I know other registrars have been, where we've had, you know, some strange thing happen with a large client or something that was unexpected. And we've had to go to the registry and you know, just ask for, you know, some assistance or forbearance or whatever, or some exception on an issue. And we've always been able to work it out. So I'm not sure, even if nothing is specifically given, that it would necessarily prohibit, you know, a registry from providing, you know, some sort of exception. An unusual circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, because then it would be, totally within the discretion of the registry.
Well, I'd hate for the registries to think that they were contractually bound to not make an exception.
Yeah, but it's like the renewal grace period. I mean, they give 45 days. You know, we've had situations where, you know, a group of names that were not to have been renewed didn't get deleted, and, you know, they've worked with us on that. A little different situation, but I don't see where it's a lot different. But again, I think if, you know, if that's the case, we'll probably certainly hear about it. You know, if that's a concern they have.
Let me just think this through, because if a registry decided to make an exception, the money would basically be coming out of their pocket, right?
Right.
Because the ICANN fee, knock wood, is going to apply anyway. It would move the registrar above the limit. So in other words, the registry would do it for customer relations purposes, basically. And they would eat the loss. And presumably, I mean, am I thinking this through correctly, Tim? In terms of financially how it would work? I mean, is there, because I guess what I'm thinking, where I'm going with this is that if there's a financial disincentive for the registry to kind of willy-nilly award exceptional circumstances waivers, then maybe I'm not as worried about it.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I don't think it's really, I think the, you know, actual any financial impact of actual is kind of, you know, funny money at that point, so to speak, because, you know, if the actual debit or debit and credit that would come and go wouldn't happen until the end of the month. And just, you know, I would imagine a registrar would notice the error or problem or mistake long before, you know, within a very short period of time. And it would just be corrected before any actual money is taken from their account. And
right. It would still be reportable, though.
Right, right.
You'd still have to, it would still show up in the registry's monthly report for that registrar. Mike, do you know if Alan felt strongly one way or the other about the numbers, about the 10% versus the 5%?
No, I don't think he did.
Because the only issue that I see is just logistically, given the timing, getting this kind of completely signed off on my end. Oh. Did we just go ahead and draft the motion? Put it up on the council page and see what happens?
Christina Olaf again. Mm-hmm. I've got another question. I'm pondering about this. What would the rules be for those who have already introduced such a measure like PIR? Should they have to follow what then would be the policy? Or could they keep what they already have in place?
It depends on whether what they already have in place is identical to what the policy is.
Well, all right. You answered my question.
I mean, I would say that if there's a difference, then they have to follow the policy.
Yeah, okay.
That the policy has to be a floor.
Yeah, well, that's not
You know, that if they have a policy that's actually more restrictive,
more
then fine. Go right ahead.
Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah.
I mean, that's my personal feeling on it. I don't, you know, I'm obviously not the only person on the call, but...
Well, I think that's going to be the practical effect of anything we put in place, is that it will end up being the floor.
Now, PIRs is a little different. It doesn't really compare directly because they kind of take a little different approach, kind of go from the other end. And, or I guess you could look at it this way, that they're actually allowing 90%. Because they felt that just, you know, that even that the 10% that they make stick, regardless of what you delete, was enough of a financial impact to put a damper on it, which it did. So theirs would probably... I'm not sure if you could view theirs as more restrictive or not, but I don't think so.
I would say it would be less.
Yeah. But I think, you know, that if we're going to do something like this, I think the sooner the better, because with USTAR's funnel request already out there, affiliates is soon to follow. You know, I think it would certainly be good for them to know what the council was intending to do or to recommend, so that, you know, it's not a lot of implementation work, although it doesn't sound like it's going to take a lot anyway, done before the policies, see what happens to the policy.
So, I mean, Tim, do you feel like the registrars or even you personally, GoDaddy, whatever, would vote for a motion that imposed essentially the same requirements that NewSTAR is proposing across all registries? In addition to making the, you know, obviously making the ICANN fee non-refundable as well.
Yeah. GoDaddy would support it, yes. Of course, GoDaddy's not the one downloading on the council, obviously. I haven't seen much chatter about the New Star proposal on the list yet. But I know that it certainly, I would think, would be much more appealing to registrars than the idea of the AGP just going away. Given the statement that we got approved and submitted. So I'm hopeful that it would be supported by most registrars, but certainly by GoDaddy.
Okay. Bottom line, it seems like it's worth a try.
Well, Christian, how do you think NCUC is going to react to this?
It's a little hard for me to say. I was actually just added to this a few days ago. So my gut reaction is that there needs to be enough wiggle room in terms of allowing for exceptional circumstances I guess the biggest concern would be on the end of the users who are not particularly sophisticated, who may just be looking to register a site and may make simple mistakes. And if the registrars were to completely stamp out, or maybe not completely, but to impose much more rigid restrictions on that end, that's where the fear would be. On the other hand, where the practice really is being abused, as long as it's effective and not draconian, I see no problem.
Well, that's useful to know.
So I guess I'm just want to follow up on that. So what is the NCUC's concern exactly with there being having some sort of exceptional circumstances carve out?
I was actually just thinking in terms of the fact that it seems to me that if the registrars do get worried that there may be unforeseen, unusual circumstances, and they don't have room to negotiate with the registries about allowing for the deletions without cost, that the policies towards users might involve some sort of excessive restrictions. But that's more just a fear of what could come down the pipe if things are too harsh.
Actually, now that you rephrase it, I'm not sure I get it. So is the concern that you're going to have some person out there who mistakenly registers the wrong domain name 50 times, or you have 50 people doing it, and then the registrar is going to hit their threshold, and so...
No, I'm just saying more that I worry that the registrar, in fear of hitting the threshold, might try to preserve those deletions for particular clients who would register a large number of...
But all the, the top 10 largest accredited registrars already have non-refundable provisions in their policies. So as I understand it now, and Tim, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that per consumer refunds on kind of I typed the wrong name, or, I made it a mistake, or I didn't communicate, whatever, that is already purely discretionary.
Right. We don't, we don't automatically give a refund if the name's deleted in 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's each situation is looked at individually as it's requested of us. And then we also have a restocking fee, which we may waive depending on the situation. So I think a number of registrars already have things like that in place to try to protect themselves from abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that changing a lot. with this particular, you know, for those registrars not involved in Tasty. Because, you know, for example, GoDaddy.com, our average deletes on it is like 1% or in some months less.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think we have a huge volume, so that certainly makes a difference, and smaller registrars might have a little higher percentage just due to the volume, but I guess I don't really see that as creating any kind of a customer service issue for the retail-facing registrars for the most part.
I don't think that the proposal I stated is, as long as there's enough wiggle room, I don't think that there's much in the way of a potential for that, the problem. I'm just worried that the response, if it's too strict, might simply be that all registrars move to non-refundability as a blanket policy. But frankly, I think that if the registrars are feel that the policies give them enough room there, I don't think that is a problem that will happen.
And I think we'll probably get more feedback from registrars as we talk about a little bit more openly with them. But I hear what you're saying, and it's hard to say in all registrars how they'll all take it. I think, you know, most of the big retail facing registrars, you know, who have, you know, I mean, we're really competing on customer service. I mean, we have similar services for the most part. We've got similar pricing. So we're all competing on customer service, and when push comes to shove, I mean, for GoDaddy, we'd rather, you know, give something away in order to keep the customer than just watch the customer walk away. So hopefully that this isn't going to change that kind of attitude.
Mike or Tim, have either of you talked to anyone in the ISPs on this? Because I haven't, and I have no idea where they are on it.
Not in quite a while.
No, I haven't either.
I mean, I know what they put in for their constituency impact statement, but I wasn't sure if talked to them about Neustar or not. That mean the registries, and that's Chuck is VeriSign, Edmund is .Asia. And Jordy, I'm blanking. Is he with .cat?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not the cat.
All right. I can't imagine they have a lot of tasting there, but, you know, I could be wrong.
Yeah, the ISPs have generally been, you know, right along with us on these issues the last several meetings. So I'm pretty sure they'll go along with what we propose. So, I mean, it seems like we're kind of in agreement to do a fairly simple motion that tracks Newman's email and adds in that the ICANN fee should be made non-refundable permanently. Let's see if we can get it passed.
I would say yes.
I mean, bottom line, we're going to have plenty of time to discuss it at a council on that Saturday morning, so things can change, but I feel like that's the best foot forward.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I agree too.
For some reason, I wasn't able to see all of the old emails in the archive. Would it be possible to get that sent again?
Which email from the archive?
The email that was just referenced. For some reason, when I'm doing the archive,
it wasn't on the list. If you're talking about the emails where Mike and Alan and I were trying to come up with language that we agreed on, those are not on the list. And then the Jeff Newman, the New Start email was posted to the council list. And I think, I don't know if it's made it to the GA list or not.
It may have been snippeted from the GA list, but I'm not sure. Yeah, or from somewhere else. It seemed to be, cut and pasted from some list. On the council list, I mean.
Oh, well, Jeff had sent it around to a group of folks.
Christian,
okay.
Do you have the New Star?
No, I don't.
Okay. Marilyn, could you forward that to Christian Curtis? And Christian, if you could just give us your email address real quick.
Sure. It's curtis.time@gmail.com.
Great. Marilyn, did you get that as well? I'll make sure it gets to you, Christian, to be sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
So do I understand correctly that the proposal that we're considering right now involves both making the ICMC non-refundable and limiting the AGP to 10% of monthly deletion, or 10% of the total number of monthly registrations?
That's how I understand it. Does you guys want to confirm?
Well, I don't know that. I thought we had talked about this last week, Mike, refresh my recollection as to whether or not we could put the budget thing in the consensus policy, and I think we decided that we probably couldn't.
You can, like you did last autumn, you can provide advice.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We can. That's our recommendation for the board to enact it as part of the budget.
All right.
And that's all GNSO ever does is recommend things to the board anyway, right?
Yeah, no. My concern was whether or not it was beyond the scope of consensus policy or not. That was my...
But it was already done, I guess, by the GNSO Council on the 31st of October, right? I mean,
that's right.
The motion that launched this PDP also recommended that...
And the staff pursue this the non-refundability of the registration.
And since then, staff has done so, and the board has, approved its recommended action, essentially saying the same thing.
So
I would say the board acted on the GNSS Council's previous recommendation, and the staff has incorporated that into the proposed budget.
Yeah, so I say we just suggest that it be made permanent and leave it at that.
And I would certainly make clear that this limiting of the AGP to 10% should be implemented, independently and...
As soon as practicable.
Right, right. So that there's no confusion about it being done consecutively or anything else.
Mm-hmm. That's, again, I think that's a different matter because it's not within the ICANN budget process, so it's more likely to be not really sure whether it's within the picket fence, and I wonder if...
Well, wouldn't it go through the same process, Olaf, like with so the motion we get? You'd have to have public comment on this.
Yeah, well, it's... I'm uncertain of it, and so whether it's, first of all, within the scope of a PDP, maybe, or rather within the picket fence. So that's...
Well, within the scope of the PDP, wasn't it one of the things that they found was in the scope of the PDP?
Yeah, that's
before, during the, you know, the course of the issues report and the development of the issues report and the outcomes report?
Yes, indeed, but it's among the measures that can be taken within the picket fence, so to speak. But that's,
and I don't know what that means.
Concerned about that.
I don't know that term.
Now, that's what are the limits to consensus policies? And that's just a little question mark for me.
Yeah, and, you know, frankly, I'd prefer we didn't even raise that.
No, I raised it in this group.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. I don't want us to get bogged down with something that we can't pull off.
That's right. And I think that issue, my opinion is that issue was resolved when we got the go-ahead from Jeffrey to do the PDP.
Okay.
You know, at least if he thinks differently or anyone thinks differently, then they can raise it and would deal with it. But I don't think we need to raise the issue.
No. Try to think ahead whether the question will be raised by anybody.
Sure, it could be.
Well, I mean, to
drill it down, I mean, Chuck is not on this call, but he was on the previous call, and did he have a reaction to it?
No, Chuck Gomes has never been on these calls.
Oh well, no. I thought he was on the list.
I think there's a little confusion with the list. I think that's why Mike was omitted by mistake,
okay.
And I think Chuck got picked up on this one when he's really on the transfers one.
If there was supposed to be an email about today's call, I didn't get it, so I don't think I'm on the
list. You are on the list, though.
But maybe there just was no reminder call. Well, maybe the way to do it is to kind of, you know, split the baby and we put it in the whereases, as opposed to the resolution, so that we make it clear what it is that we want to do without actually making it as a policy recommendation.
As a, who's drafting this motion? Does someone have the pen on this?
I mean, I'm happy to pick up the pen if Mike, you're swamped. I know that, you know.
If you would please do it, that would really help me out. I just can't do it tonight.
No, that's okay. I haven't built any time yet today, so, you know, might as well just keep going.
I know that feeling.
I personally am of the view that the simpler and more clear this is, the more likely it is to get passed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Olaf and I will go back and read the other report, but I think you should just keep it clean for now. And consider not including it for the moment.
So what are we? What is intended to be said about the budget?
Well, I would say my sense is that nothing needs to be said about the budget, but that's up to you all.
Okay.
Nothing needs to be said. I mean, you could certainly put a whereas that says, and whereas the council is already on record as supporting staff's pursuing of this option.
Right. Yeah, because that way it's in there.
And you could do a whereas, throw in a whereas about the board.
Yeah. Mike,
it doesn't really say anything in the budget, and I was kind of distracted as part of this last 10, 15 minutes. I apologize. But is there an intent? It doesn't sound like there is, but is there an intent in the staff's mind that there would be some low threshold of allowable deletes in the AGP before the ICANN fee stuck, or not?
Not in what is being proposed in terms of the budget change. The budget change was strictly billing the 20-cent annual fee for all registrations.
Got it. Okay.
Well, that's an excellent question.
Right.
Although I would think as an accounting issue. That would be more difficult. Mike, one thing just to kind of follow up, because I think Kim had raised it before you joined the call. You know, we had been talking about a 5% or 50, and obviously Newstart came out with a 10% or 50. Do you remember why we didn't go with a 10%? And conversely, do you remember why in the kind of birds of a feather group, Jeff and Hal didn't want to go with 5?
Well, they thought 5 was too low, and I thought 10 was too much. But so that's
7.5%.
Yeah.
Or 8%.
I think 10% still offers a lot of room for tasting, especially amongst the larger registrars. Enom and GoDaddy and those guys, and they got millions of registrations, so.
Yeah, but it's only 10% of the new deletes. I mean, like on a GoDaddy does over close to three times as many new registrations as any as the next closest registrar. So we'll do like, you know, 45 to 50,000 new registrations in a day. So in any one day, the best that would give us would be 4,500 to 5,000 deletes in a day. Versus like the million plus you can see now. So, you know, then you take that down to the next closest registrar and it ends up half or a third of that. So
yep.
It's still, you know, a pretty small number, but relatively speaking. And, you know, I don't really, it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, our average elites is really pretty low. But I just, the only reason I raised the issue is because that's what Newstart came out with. It sounds like that's what Afilias is going to come out with. And
right.
I just wondered if there's some reason why they felt that number was the number to go with. And if we might, you know, if there is, or at least maybe we should check or ask if there is, and it might save us issues down the road if, you know, less opposition.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you make a good point, and I know you've made it several times to me that it is the, you know, the new deletes is the percentage, so that really is going to cut down a lot on a lot of gaming. So I'm comfortable going forward with the 10% just to be non-controversial, hopefully, and get it done.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll put something. I actually have a call at 5 and another call at 5:30. But what I will do is put something very straightforward together and get it to our email list in the next couple hours, probably around 5:30, 6:30. I need to eat. Probably around 8 o'clock Eastern.
You need to eat?
I know.
Not all of it.
You know, it's really sad. I have a refrigerator in my office. I have a chair. For the calls this weekend, I brought in my sleeping bag. It's just getting really sad.
That's awesome. Make sure you get your webcam set up, too, then.
Yeah, no. It's not a friendly sight at 2 a.m. Eastern, I can tell you that. Especially I'm going to be, like, totally wired at coffee. So I guess if everyone could just take a look at that as soon as it comes around, and I don't think that there's any kind of Liz and Olaf, is there a time deadline tomorrow that we need to meet in terms of getting this on the council list in order for it to be eligible for voting on Wednesday? Do either of you know?
I think that voice may be raised if it's not put on the council list in well in advance. But
I'm planning to put it on tomorrow. I just want to make sure that I'm not supposed to be working. That we're not supposed to be working against, 12 o'clock UTC as opposed to 12 o'clock Pacific, or 5 or whatever.
Nah, I mean, it's been more relaxed than that in the past, and mind you, I mean the proposed motions are usually chewed upon and rephrased and such during the council calls themselves. So, it's more about having, larger documents should really reach the council a week in advance. That's sort of general rule. But when it comes to council motions, there is no firm rule that it should be should reach a specific date before the meeting.
Do you think we need any kind of explanatory text? Because I know that during the council meeting last week, and I know that we early on had kind of decided amongst ourselves that we didn't really see the need for any further work and that it was time to just get to it in terms of policy recommendations. Do you think we need any intro text? I mean, I'm happy to kind of post with a short explanation.
Well, you may want to say that.
All right.
You know, that the group got together, that we confirmed that the, you know, outcomes report and the issues report, provide.
And everybody was so burned out that we did a public comment. Okay. All right. Well, then, I guess, keep an eye out for it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks a lot, Christina.
Thank you.
Sorry, we're going to miss you in Delhi.
Oh, but that's okay. I'll be on the phone. It'll be fun. So have safe flights, everyone. And we'll
look
for this later tonight.
All right.
On the lookout.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.